The John Daly Show. Economy.
It is Wednesday, January 20th, 2016. Stocks plummeted today. At one point, the Dow was down more than 500 points, but the market had a comeback rally to close down only about 250 points. Let's get some perspective. Our expert here is Hugh Anderson with Hightower Advisors in Las Vegas, an independent financial planning company. Hugh, welcome.
Good to be with you, John.
As always, great to have you. And as always, I send you an email with a subject line when the stock market is crashing. It's the end of the world. It's the end of the world. It was certainly wacky for a while there. Granted, there was a comeback, but the market for this year has been way down. So should we be worried?
Well, there's a silver lining to this carnage, John. And number one, I'm kind of concerned that you don't appreciate a good 300-point rally off the lows today. But that being said, the damage has been occurring for many months at this point. I'd like to share with you two statistics that I think most people are truly not aware of. Number one is if you use the Russell 3000, which is a much broader stock market index than the Dow right. Industrials or the S&P that most people are familiar with, the 49% of that index is down 30% or more. Mm-hmm. Half of the stock market is already down 30%. 70% of the stock market in that index is down 70% is down 20%. So we have already had a major stock market correction long before the fireworks of the last couple of weeks since the turn of the year have started. The second thing I want to share with you is of that the Russell 3000, 61% of the stocks in that index are at the same price they were 2 years ago. So we have had a very, very challenging market environment for two whole years. And what's happening now is that the very large, glamorous companies that make up major portions of these indices, the stocks, the handful of stocks that actually move these indices, held up fairly well in the last year or two, masking a lot of internal damage. And those stocks are now finally coming down to earth, bringing the indexes with them.
All right. I want to get into the reasons, but just to dovetail off that, does the stock comeback today mean anything? And how about the NASDAQ only closing slightly down about 5 points? They also had a comeback. Does that mean anything, or is that just a correction after a huge drop?
No, actually, there is some meaning there, and the meaning comes from where we ended up during the summer swoon of August and September, if you recall, of a few months back. The market turned around when we got down to those levels of last summer. And so what it's telling us is that there are some bargain hunters in there hoping and thinking that that could be the lows, and so they're beginning to dip their toes in the water to see if they can find value.
Okay. Let's go back to the craziness, why it's happening. Certainly low oil, China slowing down, the emerging markets lower. Is it all that, or is it a lot more complicated?
It's not really complicated, but as you know, John, the price of oil is dollar-denominated worldwide. And as the U.S. dollar has strengthened, that the price of oil has gone down, or vice versa, but there's an inverse correlation between the dollar going up and oil going down in price. Well, what has happened over the last, especially the last 10 years, is many of the emerging markets, China being the biggest of the bunch, have borrowed a lot of money in U.S. dollar terms. And as the dollar becomes more expensive, those debts become bigger. And these emerging markets are now having a challenge of paying those debts. And that's what's spooking the market, especially from the emerging market perspective. And that's why oil is so important to that equation.
Now, a lot of people would say, oh, with the price of oil down, that means business expenses are going to be cheaper. You would think that would work in the economy's favor, but it's not. And is it primarily because of the dollar denomination?
Actually, from a domestic standpoint, for those of us who live in the United States and do all of our business in U.S. dollars, in the short term, it is obviously helping us enormously at the gas pump. So we see that on a weekly basis, and it feels good to have an extra $10 or $20 in your pocket that you were formerly putting in your gas tank. But from an economic, national economic perspective, the damage to the oil industry is having a more immediately negative impact than the positive long-term effects it will have on the economy going forward. And you're right, people are underestimating the true benefit to the industrial complex in the country, where they're going to be spending far less money on energy to manufacture widgets.
Now, I've obviously got a lot of different sources out there. My research seems to say that low oil prices will continue at least until the end of this year, until late 2016. My gut's telling me, with the Middle East, it's going to be a lot longer. What are you hearing?
I'm hearing the end of this year as well, and I think what you're hearing about the end of this year is more of an equilibrium. As we know, Saudi Arabia has abandoned their leadership role in terms of price control, the marginal producer to control prices, and they are pumping oil with abandon. The U.S. is actually now the marginal producer. All of this technology we've unleashed, although it's been pushed back, is really, you know, that genie is out of the bottle. And when there's an opportunity for better market prices, that supply will come online. I think what you're alluding to, which is very, very true, is that once the production and demand levels come back into equilibrium, then we're going to have to draw off all the excess supply that's in storage all around the world. As you know, there are, most storage depots are at max capacity, and there are cargo ships that are floating all over the world with no place to land because there's no place to offload the oil. So it's a two-phase approach. One is the balance, which hopefully will come into balance toward the end of the year, and then it's drawing down that supply to a degree that's more manageable.
Do we watch the Fed, and does the Fed change possibly? Are they going to stop raising rates?
Well, again, I think that's adding to some of this concern right now. As you know, they raised rates last month, and the indication was that they were going to raise rates four more times in the coming year. Well, as the financial markets have voted, they voted with a very large Bronx cheer to the four more interest rate rises. And so I think you'll see in the coming months the possibility that the Fed will start telegraphing that they won't be so aggressive in raising rates until they can see some stability in the financial markets and their ability to absorb the rising rate scenario.
We are talking with Hugh Anderson of Hightower Las Vegas, an independent financial planning firm. The company site is Hightower Advisors, and that's ADVISORS.com, HightowerAdvisors.com. I know you don't want to get into specific stocks. You can't because of being a financial planning firm. But overall, what should our mindset be? And again, I want to kind of get a little bit on the micro level here. In other words, what are you telling your clients right now when they're seeing all this volatility?
Well, the first thing we're telling them is human nature is to just do something. We just can't stand here and watch. We have to do something, and that's probably the wrong thing to do. If you had a sound plan in place and you had a well-designed portfolio, yes, it's going down with everything else, and that's the unnerving part of this. Good quality, bad quality, and everything in between has been going down relentlessly. But that doesn't mean you fiddle with it. What you do is you wait for the storm to pass, and then you readjust your portfolio back to the natural balance that it was supposed to have for your long-term planning needs. That being said, with so many good quality companies being thrown out with the bathwater, the opportunity to add money at much better levels as compared to 3 weeks ago and 3 months ago is now's the time to make your money. This is when the Warren Buffetts of the world make their money. It's not during the great times. It's during the challenging times because they have a plan in place to take advantage of good prices.
Okay. Somebody who is a baby boomer about ready to retire, in other words, short term, they're looking at stuff. Do you tell them to think one way or another as compared to somebody who's maybe 5 to 10 years out from retirement?
I am very concerned about our baby boomer brethren, John, because they have been through the wars in the last 15 years. 15 years ago during the tech bubble, they were substantially younger and weren't pleased with the amount of money they lost during that recession and that market decline, but they had a lot less money and they had a lot more time prior to retirement. Now, fast forward these 15 years and we've had three other major or three events in total with the housing crisis and the major recession from 08. And these folks had more money at risk and they are much closer to retirement. And I'm very concerned that many of them may throw up their hands and just say, I can't take this and get out. But the problem with that is they are guaranteeing themselves an unfortunate retirement because there is no way you can maintain any kind of lifestyle on Social Security and money in the bank earning a fraction of a percent a year. You're going to get progressively more poor. Plus, we have to keep in mind that as modern medicine keeps advancing, you and I will be taking various potions and getting various much-needed surgery that will keep us alive and well and hopefully happy for many, many years in retirement. And we need this money to last decades. And the only way you do that is by growing it prudently. So my biggest concern for the boomer generation is that they stay the course and keep, you know, keep focused on quality and the plan that they hopefully have in place.
All right, we're talking with Hugh Anderson again of Hightower Las Vegas, an independent financial planning firm. The company site is hightoweradvisors.com. Let me ask you something a little bit more personal because my business deals with startups, and a lot of people I'm hearing are talking about pulling their money out of the market, investing in themselves, starting up businesses, or getting into private deals. What are your thoughts for people who are thinking like this?
I think it's a wonderful idea. I don't think it's an all or nothing proposition. Yes, many people who are starting a business need to use all the capital at their disposal to get that business started. But investing in yourself when you have the skill set and the structure to create profit is a wonderful rate of return. And the public market should be where the profits that you enjoy should be invested to counterbalance your personal private investment. Our best clients, you know, many of our clients are self-employed individuals who own their own businesses, and we always tell them the first and best investment you can make is yourself. Any investments that you make in the public bond and stock markets is strictly a diversification activity to, as you hopefully glean profits and you have excess money beyond your living expenses, you counterbalance your business with liquid public investments. But no, I would never discourage anybody with a good idea and a lot of ambition to invest in themselves, as long as it's a good concept.
Are you beginning to see more people doing that? Because I've just, and this is a little bit more market research on my side here, I'm beginning to get more phone calls from people who want to have, you know, the video marketing and help them create content because they're either going out on their own business or they're joining, a direct sales company. Are you beginning to see that more since people are saying, you know, wages just aren't up anymore, we're having a difficult time, I'm going to branch out on my own, I want to be my own boss. Are you seeing that from either people that are you're connected to or people that are your clients?
I'm not seeing a lot of it directly, John, but I am, like you, seeing it in general and nationally. And I think you raise a good point. For those of us like yourself who are students of history, part of what we're going through with the financial markets is also a function of the changing society we live in. And there is a massive amount of creative destruction going on where the old guard and the old industries are being cast aside and new and emerging industries and those that we may not even be able to contemplate are coming to the fore. And the challenge for all of us, and none of us are immune, is to make sure that we have the skill set that's going to be in demand in the new economy versus the economy that's being left behind. And a lot of the volatility and a lot of the social angst that we read about every day in the media is that function of, is my skill set in jeopardy? Does society still value what I offer? And I think what you're talking about is symptomatic of that.
Well, you and I have talked about this a number of times. I know I've written about it a lot, too, is, and you just mentioned it, about the aging. We have an aging population. Medicare bills are going to be exorbitant for the taxpayer because not all the Medicare recipients have paid in completely to what they're going to get. On top of that, talk about the technology. The technology is really taking away jobs, or it's lowering expenses for businesses as well as lowering salaries. So that being said, as two main factors that are affecting the economy, not only here but worldwide, we have a presidential race, which I would say, and I don't want to get too political here, but I don't think any presidential candidate has even addressed those two issues head on in a common sense way. So will the presidential race have any sort of an impact, do you think, on the market, or should it, or should people just ignore what you're hearing in the presidential race?
Oh, John, that's a very loaded couple of questions. The reality is, number one, because we are in the throes of the political campaign, of course the folks applying for the job are not doing anything to help us feel better about the condition we're in, because they want to be the savior of us and get that job. So on that score, you want to ignore what they're saying, because quite frankly, they're just trying to depress us all so we'll vote for them and to save us. But the reality is we can't ignore them. Policy matters. Policy impacts our country. We have this extraordinary infrastructure, this extraordinary machine that needs to be maintained and invested in. And as you said, there are some pretty gigantic potholes in the future that nobody's addressing and nobody's pulling out the bulldozers to fill in. And we need to demand of our political leadership to start addressing those real key issues. And, the best way to fix those looming problems is to have a growing, dynamic, vibrant economy, and also address the mathematical imbalances that we've let fester for too many decades.
So for people who are hungry for solid information on the economy, on investments, on what they should be looking at so they can kind of counteract some of the silliness you're going to hear from the presidential campaign, can you give folks a couple of places of where they might need to go online or what they need to pick up? What would you suggest people to take a look at so they get solid information?
Well, the key, John, and again, I'm your biggest fan because you preached this for so many years, read far and wide and don't let one source be your guide. And so I think you have to go with name brand content. So, the Bloombergs of the world and the Wall Street Journals and the, Yahoo and so forth. But even there, you want to, they have a lot of those sites have submitted content. And you want to make sure you know who you're reading, because everybody has a slant. And there are so few sources that are, apolitical or agnostic in the approach there that want to just lay out the facts. And so you have to be very, very careful. And so the best way to be careful is just like diversifying your portfolio with investments, you want to diversify your sources of information. And again, be very, very careful if you're going to sources that are in complete agreement with you all the time, whether it's investment perspective or public policy outlook or what have you.
Wow, very nice. I couldn't have said it better. Beautiful correlation about investing and also information. Let's just wrap things up here. So with the chaos going on, just give me kind of a final wrap-up of, it's not Chicken Little. The sky isn't falling, yet at the same time, too, be aware of what's going on. Give me your take on that.
Well, the key is that we want to be very, very aware that market declines, normal market declines, are to be expected, and 20-30% market declines every few years are not out of the norm. If this is going to be a full-fledged bear market, which seems to be everybody's end-of-the-world concern, then we have to expect that the market will drop approximately 30% from its highs, and we are now currently down about 15% from those highs, and that the process could last, on average, 8 months. And so depending upon where we start that count, whether it's from the peak in last May or whether we started from a couple of months ago, we're probably looking at sometime in the first half of this year where the market, the bear market, should be over and the opportunities for the next upcycle should commence. So I would have people always pull back their perspective. And John, if I tell you, we've all lamented our being too tied to our phones and our smartwatches and everything else. The biggest challenge I'm seeing in 2016, and this is self-professed from clients and other folks, is, so you mean I should really stop looking at my stock quotes on my phone every 5 minutes? Absolutely, yes. And that's causing a lot of angst among people. They are truly being mesmerized by this this cobra of volatility.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I actually wanted to bring you on about a week ago, and I decided, now let's hold off and see what things are going on. And now that kind of things are kind of in that wishy-washy, chaotic all over the stage, that's why I decided to bring you in. But great perspective as always. We've been talking with Hugh Anderson of Hightower Las Vegas, an independent financial planning firm. The company site is hightoweradvisors.com. Hugh, as always, thanks.
Thank you, John.
And folks, thanks for joining us. Remember, stay informed, not inflamed.
For more on John Daly, including his blog postings and instructional videos, go to informednotinflamed.com.